Today, the University of Illinois dedicates its $1.5 million mechanical engineering building, and we are bringing you from the auditorium of Gregory Hall formal dedication ceremonies. Presiding today is Dr. Arthur Cutts Willard, President and Professor of Heating and Ventilation Emeritus. And here is Dr. Willard.
In extending this invitation, I'm sure Professor Parker was also speaking for the 107 members of his faculty and staff, and I'm one of the 107, please remember that. I may not be very active, but I'm one of them. As well as for the 900 or more students in the department, some 60 of these are in the graduate college. I might add also that this department will give degrees to some 300 mechanical engineers this year. I think that this is the first time in the history of the department we have had a building which is all our own. Naturally, we are very proud of it. But I think you will agree with me that fine buildings alone do not make either a great department or a great university. But they help. They help a lot. Faculty, students, and graduates determine the degree of excellence which leads to distinction in any department or in any university. Such men as Robinson, Peabody, Breckinridge, Goodenough, Richards, and Ludwalla, to name only a few, are the type of men I have in mind who have served this department with distinction in years gone by. But our purpose here today is to dedicate a building. And the first speaker will be Mr. Kaylee E. Williamson, the president of the Board of Trustees, of which he's been a member since 1945. He has been twice president of the board. He's now serving his second term as president of the board. In fact, Mr. Williamson served on the Board of Trustees for some 6 months from June to November in 1940 as the governor's appointee for an unexpired term. There are 11 members on this Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois, and these members are elected, as most of you may know, and some of you may not. They're elected by the people of the state of Illinois in just the same way the governor is elected, in just the same way the members of the General Assembly are elected. And their responsibility, of course, is to the people of the state of Illinois. The people of Illinois own this university. The trustees administer it and are responsible for its administration. Mr. Williamson is an alumnus of the university, the College of Commerce. After his graduation, he was quite active in alumni affairs, especially in connection with the activities of the Alumni Association. I think a vice president, if not a president of the association. And incidentally, Mr. Williamson comes from Peoria. I take great pleasure in presenting to you the Honorable Kenny E. Williamson, who will speak for all the trustees. Mr. Williamson.
President Willard, Dean Everett, distinguished guests, members of the faculty, students, and friends. It's my pleasant assignment on this occasion to represent the Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois. This governing board, as President Willard has said, is composed of 11 members, including the governor, superintendent of public instruction, as ex officio members elected by the people of the state. So what I say here today is in behalf of my 10 colleagues on the board, as well as for myself. One of the functions of the Board of Trustees is to secure funds needed by the university for its educational, research, and public service programs, and for physical plant development. The board also determines ways in which funds are used. As I said on the occasion of the dedication of the electrical engineering building last year, the Board of Trustees had an important duty to perform in the determination of building priorities in connection with the appropriations, and the university was requesting from the General Assembly in 1947. The board's decision at that time was to give the College of Engineering buildings, specifically the electrical engineering and mechanical engineering buildings, a very high priority. There had been no major building construction for the College of Engineering for over 20 years. In the meantime, enrollment in that college had increased, and physical expansion for its educational and research programs was obviously necessary. I do not believe that anyone questions the wisdom of that board's decision. I am sure no one here does. Since 1946, the university has been operating an undergraduate division in Chicago on the Navy Pier in quarters leased from the city of Chicago. This division offers the first 2 years of college work in liberal arts and sciences, commerce, engineering, and architecture. This is a part of the university, just as though it were in Urbana-Champaign. When the students at Navy Pier have successfully completed 2 years of work at the university is in duty bound to make provision for the continuation of their education in Urbana-Champaign if they desire to come here. Many of these students who begin their work in engineering at Navy Pier do come to Urbana, and an increasing number of students also come here from junior colleges. It is a credit to the faculty of the department that so many students wish to come here to study mechanical engineering. Its reputation was established years ago, and its staff has included many illustrious engineers. I could not name all of them, but without distracting a credit from any of the others, I should like to mention two whom it has been my privilege to know: Dr. Arthur Cutts Willard, President Emeritus of the University, and Professor George A. Goodenough, Professor of Thermodynamics. The mechanical engineering building was designed by the firm of Fugard, Burt, and Wilkinson of Chicago. All principals in this firm, I am happy to note, are alumni of the university. The design work was done by L.E. Wilkinson with material assistance from Mr. Bernard Bradley, who at that time was a designer in the physical plant department. The general contractor, James McHugh and Sons of Chicago. Other principal contractors who participated in the construction of this building were the Square Deal Electric Company of LaPorte, Indiana, and Electrical Installations, Robert Gordon Incorporated of Chicago Heating, Bellis and Miller Incorporated of Champaign Plumbing, Schroeder's Ventilating of Champaign Ventilating Work, Elevator Manufacturing Company of America, Chicago, and Loud Machinery Company of Chicago Tramp Rail Work. I take this occasion to pay tribute to the architects and contractors on doing a splendid job. Back of all this design and construction work was a great deal of thought and planning by the Department of Mechanical Engineering. When this planning began, I am sure it was the hope of the department staff that it would have a new building which could house all of the activities of the department. This seemed entirely feasible at the time, but as building costs increased, it was necessary to reduce the size of the building, and it's regrettable that some of the activities of this department have to be carried on in other buildings. However, I'm sure that this new building has given the department a great lift and an increased interest in its work. Provost Griffith, Dean Everett, Professor Parker, as we dedicate this new mechanical engineering building today, please be assured that your distinguished faculty has the respect and admiration of the Board of Trustees. We are happy to offer you this additional facility in full confidence that it will be used effectively. We wish you continued success and even greater glory in the years to come.
The next speaker, Dr. Coleman R. Griffith, is the provost of the University of Illinois. He has a very, very broad responsibility in the general administration of the institution, and he is a very versatile person. I know because he and I worked very closely together for some 12 years. But he finds time to do a great many things. He takes an active interest in our teaching programs. In fact, so active that he teaches himself. Indeed, he is a professor of education. His field is educational psychology, and he never loses touch with the fundamental objective of the university, which is teaching students. He is currently the acting president of the university while Dr. Stoddard is in Europe. He will speak for the university in response to President Williamson, and I am delighted to introduce the provost this time. Provost Griffith.
Dr. Willard, President Williamson, honored guests and friends of the university. On behalf of President Stoddard and of the entire staff of the university and of the students, but especially of the staff and students of the College of Engineering, I am pleased to accept this building given to the university by the people of this state through the medium of our great Board of Trustees. It is rather interesting and I think symbolic to me that the dedication of a mechanical engineering building should take place in a building devoted to the fine arts, to education, and to the liberal arts. Because I think I can see ahead just a few months, at the most just a few years, until the cold steel, brick, stone of this building will go through a transformation into the life and thought and goodwill of the kind of men which our distinguished Dr. Willard has mentioned. What we remember about great homes and great buildings all over the nation is not so much the architecture. It certainly is not the steel or the brick or the stone, but the people who lived there and did their work. And so, as today we have talked about these great men that have made the Department of Mechanical Engineering and have forgotten about the building from which the Department of Mechanical Engineering has moved. So in a very short time, even though we have this elegant structure, we will be talking about the same men and other men who will make over the building and transform it into those ideas and thoughts and devotion to research and to the growth of our young people, as have all of those done who have gone before us. And I see also another kind of transformation, because this building is dedicated to the advancement of one of the major fields of engineering and is a part of the kind of technical society in which we live. But this technical society and the feats of engineering that will take place in this building are for a purpose. They are for the purpose of giving the life of the mind and of the spirit and of the character of men and women everywhere new degrees of leisure, new degrees of freedom, new degrees of time to work for the things which they cherish most highly, whether by way of safety or convenience or beauty or functional value. So that as the months come and go and our students walk up and down the halls of this new building, and as they come in contact with their professors and these distinguished research men, the building itself will kind of live over again through the lives of these students. And this we are happy about. And so we accept this building with pleasure and with gratitude. And as the president of the board has already indicated, we shall do our best to see to it that the very best in the way of research and instruction and human value comes out of it.
It is always a pleasure to have the next speaker, Dean Potter, come to our campus, pay us a visit, whether he talks or doesn't, but he nearly always talks. He and I went to school together many years ago, and while he is not as old as I am, I have more hair than he has, and maybe he'll tell you why. He's going to talk about engineering education and industry. And I know of no man better qualified than he is due to his distinguished career in these two fields to discuss this subject. After serving as dean of Kansas State College from 1905 to 1920, he moved to Purdue University. There has been dean and still is dean of the engineering schools. He's a professor of power engineering. He's also director of the engineering experiment station at Purdue. And even during 1945, 46, he was acting president of Purdue University.